Howard Stern made the cut. So did Tina Brown and former Governor Spitzer and Patterson. But they're not on a list of the most prominent people here in the city or even the sexiest people alive. They're just a few of the people on the Village Voices list of the 100 most powerless New Yorkers, which is subtitled A Power List for the Rest of Us. Staff writer Stephen Thrasher put that list together in no particular order, as he says. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So now let me start with the guys who deliver marijuana, and not just because we've done some of our own reporting on this here at WNYC, but also because even though there's no particular order, they happen to be number one on your list. What are they doing there?
I think they're probably at the top of the list to try to draw the reader in and show them that this is a different kind of power list than the ones that you're using, or that you're used to reading. And I had written extensively about them, as your Elsa Chang reported on them, and I found, you know, that even though people might have certain ideas about people who deal drugs, weed delivery guys are actually very low in the pyramid of how the drug operation works, and they're very vulnerable to crime, and they usually don't earn very much money. And so I wanted to just start with them as one figure in our city that usually is not covered.
Now, Now, moving on to politics and combining that with showbiz, we have this guy.
Strollers and schleppers and skaters and joggers, holiday lanes just for all the eggnoggers. Let's not forget cars. It's getting insane. Welcome to Brooklyn, the borough of lanes.
That's Brooklyn's borough president, Marty Markowitz. He got a lot of media attention for that Sound of Music routine, and here we are playing it again. But we have to remember it was part of his unsuccessful effort to stop bike lanes. He's just one of a number of borough presidents on your list. What's going on with that particular office? Are they losing power somehow?
Well, I included three of the borough presidents because, I've looked at it a lot and I can't figure out what it is exactly that they do. And from a lot of the reporting that I've done in terms of the education reporting I've done, they each have a person that they put on the panel for educational policy, but they can't effectively do anything. They have 5 votes against the mayor's 8. So it's really just sort of a ceremonial post that they put up. And the borough presidents don't, as I've looked at the city charter, they don't really have much that they can do. They're sort of an interim executive, and it's more ceremonial. And I've gone to many events where I've wondered what it is that they're actually accomplishing. When I was visiting Haifa, Israel, actually visiting the gardens there, the guards asked me when I was going in where I was from, and I told them Brooklyn, and they said, "Oh, we just met your president." And I said, "Barack Obama's not here." And they said, no, Marty Markowitz, we just met him. And they all produced these pins that they gave me extolling the virtues of Brooklyn that he just handed them. He was glad handing abroad. So that seems to be, to me, the kind of thing that the borough presidents do. But in terms of actual legislative policy and power, I've not been able to figure out how much they're able to do from that post.
Well, we don't want to underestimate Marty's international reach then. But you mentioned education policy. Your list includes 2 former schools chancellors, parents in schools that are co-located in the same building with another school, teachers in high schools that have been deemed to be failing. It's a lot of things on the list. Does anyone in the school system have any real power?
Well, right now the mayor has a lot of power because of mayoral control. But I have had a feeling when I've covered education that a lot of people are acting without power. And I don't mean to imply that they can't try to change things, but when you cover one of these PEP hearings, you'll go to them and you'll have hundreds and sometimes thousands of parents screaming and trying to get their voice heard, and then the mayor's appointees all vote their way, and occasionally there'll be 1 or 2 members of dissent. But nothing really changes. And when I've spent time in schools, I've just met so many teachers who are very frustrated, principals who are very frustrated, and they have a hard time being able to get their needs across, and their power is not easily able to be effective. So that's why I included so many different people in education. I see a lot of frustration there and a lot of lack of ability for people to get their voices heard and get the change want that they desire.
Now, very briefly, in the about 30 seconds we have left, Occupy Wall Street got a lot of media attention this year, but there are a few members of the 99% on your list, and who and why?
I included the Crest Punks, who were the homeless street kids who were living there, and they were getting a lot of disdain both by Fox News and by mainstream media, but also within the Occupy Wall Street movement as the homeless people that were not really doing anything sometimes and that were not being very politically engaged. But I think a lot of the backlash against Occupy Wall Street was not just about an assault on free speech. It was about making homelessness itself illegal and the right to assemble illegal. So that's why I included them in the list.
All right. Thank you. Village Voice staff writer Stephen Thrasher, who put together the list of the 100 most powerless New Yorkers. Thanks so much for joining us on WNYC.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.